Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. What's going on there? What is Paul getting at? I'll be honest with you, I disagree with part of his closing there. That I might by all means save some. Jesus saves. The rest of us just point in that direction. Even Paul. But that's not his whole point. What is he getting at when he is talking about becoming as a Jew or as one under the law or one outside of the law or as one who is weak? He's talking about his approach to evangelism. Do you know much about the city of Corinth? The ancient city of Corinth, not the city today. It's okay if you don't. I will tell you. You saw that coming. Corinth. It's a decent-sized city out of the Mediterranean. It is about midway. If you have any kind of mental map of Greece, you probably don't, but you might have a semblance of one from junior high or high school or maybe even elementary school. I do, really. It's about midway, about the center of Greece. It's a city that was leveled by Rome in 146 BC. I mean, it was torn to pieces. The men in the city were put to the sword, to put it somewhat politely. The women and children were sold off into slavery. Corinth was utterly destroyed by the Roman Empire. And then in 44 BC, so about 45 years before Jesus was born, give or take, it was rebuilt, or it was repopulated, and it was repopulated in a way similar to the way Australia was populated, if any of you know anything about Australia's history. It was repopulated by the Romans sent off their excess population to Corinth. They sent off former slaves. They sent off peasants who were getting in the way or who just couldn't find work. They sent off criminals. They sent off people who they didn't want to rebuild the city. And over time, Corinth grew to be even bigger than it was before it was destroyed. In the time of Christ and the time of Paul, when he's writing, it's a major trade center. I told you earlier that it's about the center part of Greece. Well, much of Greece is... I don't have a visual aid. I'll try to use my hands to do this. You know what an isthmus is? It's a narrow strip of land connecting two other pieces of land, buried by, or usually bounded by, water. So much of Greece is this big chunk here, this big chunk here, and there's this little tiny isthmus connecting them. And Corinth is right in the center of that. So anything passing between those land masses passes through Corinth. And a lot of the stuff coming from the Middle East out to Rome passes that way. And a lot of the stuff from Rome passes that way going the other direction. So this is a major city. And as you can imagine, when you've got a trade community, especially one that's been built up by Rome saying, here's all these people we don't want, let's throw them out there, you wind up with a very diverse population. And think about it, you know. It's not as though this is just natives of the area who are in the city. These are people from all over the Roman Empire who have been picked up and dropped in Corinth. And in a community with that much diversity, you can't take much for granted. You can't assume what language someone speaks. You can't assume their politics, their occupation, their faith. To get your message across in that sort of environment, you need to speak the language of the people you are trying to reach, both literally and figuratively. So I told you that this is about Paul's approach to evangelism that he's discussing with the Corinthians here. What is he describing? He's talking about meeting people where they are. To the Jews, I came as a Jew. To those under the law, I came as one under the law. To those outside the law, I came as one outside the law. I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. He's talking about meeting people where they are. That doesn't mean that he's talking about selling out, bending himself into any sort of shape so that they will listen to him. It doesn't mean that he is talking about dumbing down the gospel. It doesn't mean that he is saying that he's just going to give them what they want. It means that he's recognizing that for people to listen to the gospel, for people to feel the gospel, they need to experience it. For people to listen and to feel the gospel, they need to experience it as accessible. They need to experience it as relevant. They need to experience it as necessary to their lives. And he recognized that for people to be moved by Christ, they needed to be shown that Christ is moving, that Christ is active, that Christ is vital. And in that regard, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in that regard over the past 2,000 years. A common question that I hear as a pastor, and especially as a pastor who still has more dark than gray in his beard and hair so far. Thanks, Sarah. Sarah likes to remind me that when we started dating, I had like one, two, five gray hairs. She remembers this because she would count them out loud and tell me about them. And she has since given up, which I know for some of you, you're saying, yes, whatever, young pastor punk man, but still. One of the common questions that I hear, though, is how do you share the gospel with young people? How do you reach the youth of today with the message of Christ? During my first interview here, I was asked a question, and it was a good question, but I should have realized, I should have answered differently. I should have realized it was a teaching moment, and I let it skip. I didn't think about it. I was asked, what will you do to bring younger people here? And I should have today thought for a moment and said, well, the question is actually, what can we do together? And what can I do as your pastor to equip you to do that? But I didn't think about it at the time because I, you know, was just starting out. It's a good question, though. How do we share the gospel message with people outside the church? General, how do we share Christ with people who are not already associated with the church? The answer is both incredibly simple and incredibly difficult. We share it by both talking and by listening. By doing and observing. It is done by emulating Paul. To the Jews, I came as a Jew. To those under the law, I came as one under the law. To those outside the law, I came as one outside the law. It is done by asking yourself, what do people need? And by asking people, quote-unquote, outside, what do you need? It is done by recognizing that sometimes speaking to others and helping them find meaning means stepping back, letting our own needs take second place for a moment. Paul speaks of people who are under and outside the law. He's pretty much talking about Jewish law. He's talking about how he would live within it when that was necessary to reach people, to have that kind of credibility. Even though he knew he did not actually need to live within it. But he would do so because there was a greater good in play. And that was what was truly important. For people today, to put that in context, that might mean volunteering for a committee or a class to help out, to attend, to teach, whatever. It might mean trying out new music. It might mean allowing new ideas for worship or for play. It might mean giving up your favorite pew to a visitor someday. Perish the thought. Don't want to make anyone too uncomfortable. And that's why I put the pew in there last. We're building to a crescendo moment. No, but seriously, all of these things, they seem small and insignificant, and yet they are all about the same thing. Making people comfortable. Not comfortable in the sense of blasé, or comfortable in the sense of not challenging people, but comfortable in the sense of creating an environment in which people are capable of listening, capable of feeling, capable of experiencing, capable of recognizing the role of God in their lives, capable of feeling the movement of God's Spirit in their lives. To truly be the church, to truly get what Paul was getting at, that's what we as church people have to continuously remember to do. Accept the fact that we won't always get our way. We won't always be comfortable ourselves. And that's okay. Because what truly matters is that not that we are comfortable, but that, to paraphrase Paul, we might be the means by which others can meet Christ. Amen.